Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's the morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. John and Hugh talking a lot about the Braves. That is our Vision Computer poll question of the day. Braves have opened up a 4.5 game lead. What do you think is going to happen now? Are they going to make the World Series, win the NL East, make the wild card, or miss the playoffs? You can vote at 929 The Game. And when you do, we always encourage you to weigh in and be part of the conversation. Don't just vote, but actually jump into the convo there. It's always a good thing. A lot going on in town. The Dream won last night. The Braves won last night. To open that 4.5 game lead, we are on the edge of Kennesaw State, Georgia State tomorrow night to open the college football season around here for all the teams. And when I say open the college football season around here, I know that this Reinhardt played last week. Other teams have played, so I'm not trying to diss
you. Yeah, you poo-pooing them. Don't do that, yeah, Joffrey.
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying.
Don't do that.
Know, the Division I college football season and getting ready for Georgia and Georgia Tech. We'll talk about all that stuff, the Falcons coming up tomorrow night. Now, it's the final preseason game. And we know that some guys are fighting for positions in this final preseason game, but one position has finally been settled. Yay! The right guard battle is finally over. I don't know, when we were talking with Brandon Fusco, you and I, what, 10 days ago or so? I asked him a question, or I think I made a statement to him. We have never spent so much time talking about right guard in my entire life as a position. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not a position you would spend a whole lot of time. You need to talk about quarterbacks, wide receivers.
Well, when you look at the way the Falcons are constructed, and you know the fact that they like to be as balanced as they possibly can. Yeah, that's a conversation that you tend to have. And then on top of that, you know, you bring him in here, give him some money, bring him in here to help push Wes Schweitzer and to in turn upgrade that position. So yeah, it's one of those things that when you look at the needs of the team, that was one of them that was huge, and that's the reason why we're talking about it as much as we do.
Well, there are two really great battles in camp. Not talking about making the team, but positional battles. Those two positional battles were the Schweitzer, who started last year, started all its last season in 2017, and Brandon Fusco, guy who had been a 6-year starter with the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers. The other was kick returner, and all the guys that got a chance to go back there, good, bad, ugly. And there was good, bad, and they were ugly, ugly. So Dan Quinn addressed both of those. Let's begin with Dan Quinn, the head coach yesterday, declaring, "We have a winner at right guard."
Fusco, has certainly done a good job to, you know, have earned that spot, and what a, you know, competitive battle between him and Wes. So that's why you may see Wes some more at center, you know, as we're moving forward, where as an interior three player, Wes has the ability to play center, right guard, left guard. So he'll be an important part of what we do. I love his competitive style. Like, he consistently grades amongst the highest on the team in our CT scores in terms of competitive and toughness. So he always represents that for us.
So Brandon Fusco wins the right guard position over Wes Schweitzer. Now the question becomes, do you carry 8 or 9 offensive linemen? Okay, Hugh? If you start thinking, you've got your starting five, right? You've got Jake Matthews, you've got Andy Levitre, Alex Mack, Brandon Fusco, and of course, Ryan Schrader. Now, what are the other three you're going to carry? Coach just said Wes Schweitzer is going to be a swing guard and play some center.
Ben Garland.
And Ben Garland is a swing guard who plays some center.
So that's 7, right?
That's 7. Sean Harlow is a tackle who could play some
and
guard.
And you got to have two tackles on the end.
Right.
So and I'm then, thinking 8 yeah, to 9.
That's 8. Austin Pastor. You know, I mean, are you going to carry 8 to 9? You know, I think they carry.
I would say 8.
I'm going to say they carry 8 and put one of either Pastor or Harlow on the 53.
That might be the case. But see, this is what it is, John. You want versatility is key when you look at this. Yeah, versatility is key when you look at this Atlanta Falcons football team. And when you're talking about those positions, you're looking at the offensive line spot. I would think that you have to have a guy that's going to back up Jake Matthews. you have to have somebody that can play that position. That's one of the most important positions out there on the field, whether or not you believe it, because you're protecting the backside of the quarterback. So you have to have somebody that's versatile in playing that position. And I think that's going to be the key right there. Mm-hmm. If Austin Pastor can be a guy that, if pressed into duty, could he slide out there to left tackle? I'm thinking off the top of my head, when you start talking numbers, because you might carry more wide receivers or you might carry more DBs with this team, as far as the Hardy and Calvin Ridley is concerned, you might go five or six receivers.
Right. Are you carrying five or are you carrying six?
Yeah. You might do that. So, yeah,
but that's the great thing about Tevin Coleman. You could, in theory, carry five if you're getting, because we don't know yet. Remember what we don't know. We had heard that Tevin was going to split wide. We saw it in camp. We didn't see it so much in the preseason. You know, I mean, if they're going to use Tevin as a kind of a swing, you know, guy, a slot guy and a running back, maybe you can get away with just five wide receivers.
I don't know, John. We're playing a numbers game.
We're playing a numbers game.
I would say this. If I'm the coach, there has to be a 10 either defensive linemen mm-hmm. or offensive linemen. That's just kind of the number that has been over the years for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, but to your point about wide receiver, let's just go there for a second, because isn't this interesting? You have the three that are obviously locked in, Julio and Sanu and Ridley. If you carry another three, who are they going to be? Is Justin Hardy? Marvin Hall?
That's the thing.
Here's the thing. Reggie Davis is suddenly a problem for you. Because Reggie Davis has been so good on special teams. Reggie Davis has made this team, Hugh. Reggie Davis has made this team. Because we talk about the guys that have shined in preseason. Tevin, Sanat's had some nice moments, certainly Casey. Reggie Davis has been by far your best player on return coverage units. By far. Not even close. And Reggie Davis played great.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying. But
so what do you do with, you know, I mean,
that's
Marvin
the thing,
Hall?
John. You're going to get to the thing now,
Russell,
okay?
Gage.
Between your offensive and defensive line, let's just say, let's have a generous number, 20. That's 20 positions taken up already.
Okay.
That's 20 positions. So what you got, 33 that you had to fill?
For what?
For your 53-man roster.
Yeah, right.
So
yes.
Now you're, okay, we got two quarterbacks, and the third would probably be on the practice squad, correct? So that's two positions gone. So that's what? 31 left.
Yeah. Well, so wait, the math threw me for it. So you have your starting 22.
No. What I'm saying is this, John. We're okay. This is how. Like, let me break it back down. Like, 53
okay.
man roster.
Okay, right.
20 spots are gone because you're taking 10 offensive linemen and 10 defensive.
Oh, okay. I get you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So now we have 33 spots to fill.
Right.
Two of those spots are going to be filled by quarterbacks.
Of course.
So now we have what, 31 spots.
Well, three might be quarterbacks, actually.
But one of them might be a practice squad, so that doesn't count for the 53-man roster.
True.
You see what I'm saying? See, now look at you got me doing math and get about to confuse myself. Bottom line is this, John Freaky, because I'm not about to go down this math road with you.
All right.
But the bottom line is this.
They got some tough calls.
Yes, and they're going to be playing the numbers game because
right.
now you want to figure out, okay, how many linebackers are you going to take? How many linebackers are you going to keep? How many receivers are you going to keep? Are we going to keep five linebackers? Are we going to keep six linebackers? That you see the point that I'm making?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then that's when you get off to, okay, we want to keep six receivers. And this is going to be the kicker. Running backs. And you got that fullback. One fullback on the roster. But as far as backs are concerned, you got four. You're mm-hmm. going to keep probably four.
Four.
So that's four positions gone. So now, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you have to figure out what numbers are needed where, and the deciding factor is going to be guys that can do the most, like special teams and stuff like that. So that's when you start to get into that push-pull, and I'm pretty sure that coaches are going to be in the room talking about, hey, well, I need this guy for this, and you know, and special teams come into play. I'm going to need him for special teams, and he does this. Like, that's where it comes. That's where the tough decisions are made, because there's certain guys, there's no question they're going to be on the team. It's those guys that do the most are going to be the toughest calls to make.
Yeah, and that's where Reggie Davis becomes such an interesting call, because I made a declaration that Reggie Davis has made this team. He was right. Maybe he didn't, because he just becomes a numbers game. But boy, that would be really disappointing, not just for Reggie, of course, but really disappointing for me, because in this age of the new kickoff, That coverage unit is so important, and we know how bad it was for the Atlanta Falcons and how good Reggie Davis was on punt and kick returns this year. He was really good in the preseason, good enough that I think he earned a job. But we'll see if Keith Armstrong can keep him on the team. And again, it's a wideout thing. You're getting down to you have the three, and then you have Marvin Hall, and you have Justin Hardy. That's five.
And you best believe
Russell Gage or Reggie Davis.
Coach Armstrong is going to have a whole lot to say in those meetings. I mean, he's going to have he's going to have a whole lot to say. And the more guys can do, the better chance they're going to have to be on the squad.
Right, because there's three squads here we're talking about. We're talking about 59, which is the 58 plus one. The Falcons get a bonus because of the international player. And but the, you know, again, we're talking about those guys that are on the 50, you know, that extended roster, and then the guys that actually dress, the 48 that dress for a game. So I mean, a lot that goes into all this. It's really interesting. You know, we'll see what they do. 59 practice squad, 58, 59 in the case of the Falcons, and, of course, the active roster of 53, and then the actual 48 that dress. So, it's really hard to, make those decisions on a weekly basis.
And Isaiah Oliver is going to be another question about him is whether or not, how he factors in all of this. You know, I know a lot of people are talking about how he's
walking away from the second round pick, though.
Yeah.
He's got a deal.
It's like, okay, how many corners are you going to keep? Five? Maybe
this is
four.
Why Quinn always preaches, the more you can do, the more you can do, the more you can do.
I mean, how many safeties?
Because Kamal Ishmael could play safety or linebacker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got guys that you're looking at, the more you can do. It's again, John, there's going to be some good football players cut from this team, and they're going to go somewhere else, and they're going to get a job, but they're not going to be here. And you're going to look at it and be like, oh, man, he got cut. Because the one thing that Coach Quinn wanted when he put this roster together and it's turned over, You want it to be competitive at every position. And that's basically what it is now.
It is a calm before the storm on a Wednesday before it all begins tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a huge day for football, the final preseason day for all 16 teams in the all 32 teams, 16 games in the NFL. Morning show with John Frankie, Hugh Douglas. We have Wendy, Daryl, and AT. Whole crew is here, and we get ready for tomorrow's final preseason game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Miami Dolphins on our complete coverage from the midday show on. Also tomorrow, of course, college football with the Georgia State, Kennesaw State game. Just do keep that in mind if you're going to go to the Falcons game or if you're going to go to Georgia State. The Braves are also going to be playing, tomorrow against the Cubs, but especially downtown where you're going to have both games going on at the same time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and Georgia State Stadium between GSU, KSU, and the Falcons and Dolphins. That's just something that you want to, just in your pregame kind of, planning here. And do remember as well, of course, that it's going to be an early kick for the Atlanta Falcons. It is a 7 o'clock kick. The preseason games kick earlier than the regular season games, so a 7 o'clock kick tomorrow.
On a Thursday.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that's going to be – well, but you got the – wait a second. You can walk to a MARTA station, Hugh.
No, because I plan on – listen. I like to come and go as I please. It's a habit that I don't want to break.
But MARTA doesn't let you come and go as you please?
No, because I got to wait for MARTA to come get me.
Oh, that 5 minutes is going
to
kill you.
Yes, it is, John Freaky. 5 minutes to wait is going to kill me.
So I can just
and
see
I
you,
don't want to die.
I can just see you. I can see you standing at Benny Holmes, for 10 minutes in an empty MARTA platform going,
John. You've been working with me for a couple years now. If I get on MARTA, it ain't going to be that easy. Hey, just, all you had to do is read the signs.
Straight into the West End. Which way do I go? South to the airport.
Hold my hand.
Daryl, where are you? Daryl, hey, where are you?
You're going to go, I'm at North Point. Where the hell am I?
Yeah. How did I get over here? You missed your transfer train.
You took the wrong one.
Yeah, I can't. No, I ain't about to take them chances.
You're to Doraville, not to North Point.
Hey, and then you know me. I'm looking. I see the road that I'm supposed to go down. I'm trying to jump off the train. No, I can't do all that.
No, wait, that's mine.
I'm too old to be trying to jump, man. I'm not about to do that. I don't know if I can do that.
One position that apparently has not been settled and may go down to the wire, if you're going to the game tomorrow night, pay attention to this. Dan Quinn says there's a spot on this team that he has not settled on yet.
I don't think for sure a committee all year. I'd like to have more, I can say discipline, that more, certainty than that. So I have a pretty good idea of where I'm heading now. I'd like to not give it away just where we're at in terms for the season and who's going to be preparing against. But I'm pretty well squared away, in terms of the decisions for that.
All right, so that's kind of vague, right? So what position is he talking about?
Kick returner.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Same, oh, I thought he was talking about quarterback.
Nope. Yeah, I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
I kind of got an idea, but I don't really. I think I know, but I don't. All right, I'm going to translate this again because I want to play this for you again because I want to give you the translation now that you know it's kick returner, okay? I may talk over this a little bit. Go ahead and play this bite again, if you would dare.
I don't think for sure a committee all year. I'd like to have not more.
Sure. Not sure. Not sure.
You know.
Yeah, not 100.
You know. Yeah. I'd say discipline that more, yeah. You know, certainty than that. So I have right. A pretty good idea of where I'm heading now.
Yeah.
I'd like to not give it away just where we're at in terms for the season and who's going to be preparing against. Yeah. But I'm pretty well squared away, you know, in terms of the decisions for that.
No, he's going to be the returner at the beginning of the season. I think we said this or we've had a discussion about this until somebody else steps up. Like Calvin Ridley is the master of his own destiny right now in the sense that if he goes out there, he becomes a huge factor offensively. Then they're gonna shorten his duties or take away some of his responsibility as far as kick return is concerned because he means so much for that offense. I was telling somebody last night, man, and I didn't, like they were asking me how do I think that the first game is gonna play out. I'm not ready to get that prediction yet, but I have a strong feeling that this Atlanta Falcons team is gonna go back to that first year when they were setting records as far as throwing the ball all over the schoolyard. I got a feeling that's who they want to be.
Well, it's Hugh Douglas' way of saying if you didn't draft Matt Ryan as your fantasy quarterback, you made a mistake. Who would take somebody besides Matt Ryan at this point? Nobody would take anybody besides Matt Ryan. That would just be foolish. There's like a backstory to this, and we'll tell you about it a little later in the show. Okay?
yeah, we will.
Somebody didn't take Matt Ryan. That's all I'll tell you. Maybe the stupidest idea ever in the history of the NFL, and there have been a lot of stupid ideas, was floated yesterday as part of Jerry Jones clowning himself again. Wait till you hear these stories. That's next after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by FanDuel, more ways to win. With sagging attendance affecting all sports, some teams are taking action. The Redskins...
Mercedes-Benz Stadium is turning 1 year old. Tune in as we broadcast live from the stadium.
Tomorrow, our live pregame coverage starts with Rick and John. Then it's Dukes and Bell live until our Falcons coverage continues with preseason game number 4. Falcons, Dolphins.
Our Falcons play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This morning we are eight days away from the Atlanta Falcons kicking off the regular season against the Philadelphia Eagles. And here we go in the National Football League. 8 days until Hugh Douglas sits inside Lincoln Financial Field. When was the last time you were in the Link?
Oh, it's been a couple years ago on the Philly Flyaway. I wonder if we got a winner yet. I don't know. Nobody said anything to me about the winner. I know I've gotten the hotel stay information. I've gotten that. I've gotten my ticket.
Is it swaggy danky?
It's the Renaissance. It's pretty nice.
Oh, that is pretty nice.
It's the renovated Renaissance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know, that's not that Motel far. 8 out at the airport.
No, it's not the Motel 6. It's not that.
They'll leave the light on.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But it's got, you know, for me, it's going back home. If it's where I remember it to be, we're not that far from things to do. So, you know, we get there, me and the winner, with that $1,000 Visa gift card. Probably walk around and, you know, I could take them to some of the hood spots. And
wait a second. No. Hang on. I'm going to Philadelphia. No offense to the hood spots, but, I mean, don't you want to go to the Rocky statue? Because he's real, right?
No, you don't want – well, you could do that. It's not that far. It's everything – I think where we're staying
– don't you want to see the Liberty Bell?
It's not too far. It's not – it's in walking distance. I'm not about to do all that walking. But you want to do – you can walk down on South Street. You got to get a cheesesteak. Take it to Iska Bibbles.
Right.
You got to take you to the place.
A water ice?
You haven't been to the place where they, like, you can get all the – they have all the different color Nikes, but they wrap them in, like, cellophane. They wrap them in the bubble. You know what I'm talking about, D, where you can go – you can look at it, but you can't really actually touch it. You want to get you a nice little pair of Nikes or something? Or get you a pair of jeans? Get you some jeans, some saggy jeans or something?
Last time I was in Philadelphia was about 22 years ago, and I got rip-roaring night in Oh, let's put it this way. I spent the night next to the pub in Ridley Park.
Oh, you can go to Mitchell & Ness. That's another big spot. Shout out to my man, AT. Mitchell & Ness. Mitchell & Ness is big now. Like, Mitchell & Ness is like the spot where you go. Uh-huh. I remember back in the day where everybody was wearing the jersey game.
Right.
Like, they had that on lock. Just the old school jerseys and stuff. You can do that. Like you said, the Liberty Bell.
My only goal in Philadelphia.
Is it Rittenhouse Square? Yeah, yeah, all of that.
Don't wake up in Camden. You're going
to
be good.
Oh, yeah, you go to Camden. Yeah. That's kind of like my thing in Camden. You don't want to fool around in Camden.
Yeah, no, you don't. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Unless you're going to get some soup.
We have.
Because that's what Campbell's is. Campbell's is in Camden.
Campbell's is in Camden.
Yeah, yes. It's in Camden. Unless you're going to get some soup, but I suggest you get that in the daytime.
There is a lot of NFL news ahead of the final preseason game. Now, when we get to week four, everybody says, it's a throwaway. It's a toss away. You know, everybody, it's whatever.
All depends on who you are.
Yeah, and right. It depends on the player that you are. But there's a lot of people who do say, and I'm among them, who say four preseason games are way too much. So Jerry Jones is leading the charge, pounding the table to go to 18 regular season games, right? Okay. And there are two Jerry Jones stories. This is one of them. So he's pounding the table, leading the charge to 18 regular season games. If I'm the NFLPA, I agree with this, actually. I'll agree to 18-game schedule and two preseason games, but I want some because I want the cap to go way up. I want the rosters to go from 53 to 58 and then practice squad on top of that, so I want more members, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's what I want if I'm the NFLPA. However, Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk took the 18-game regular season and he started asking people and he started saying, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in the entire history of sports, okay? They're actually talking about we could have an 18-game regular season and for the benefit of the health of the players, because of concussions and CTE, players would only be eligible to play in 16 of the 18 games. In other words, you'd have two regular season games where you're not eligible to play in and they'd have to stagger their lineups throughout the year, because Matt Ryan wouldn't be eligible. Matt Ryan is ineligible for two games this year. What? Aaron Rodgers is ineligible.
For two regular season games. Is that you saying that's what Jerry Jones said?
No, this is Mike Florio saying there. It says, potentially a solution that's quietly making the rounds in the NFL. Most people will scoff. Yeah, I'm scoffing upon hearing it for the first time. It's possible the owners are going to warm up to the idea of 18-game regular season, but allowing players to participate in a maximum of 16 of those 18 games.
So wait a minute. So did I have this straight in my head? As important as the games are in the NFL, as crucial as they are, because not taking anything away from baseball or basketball, but they play a longer schedule. 82 games in basketball was 162 games in like baseball, something like that.
Right. Both correct.
But 16 games in the NFL, two games could be the deciding factor whether or not you win the division or make it to the playoffs. And you're trying to tell me that you have to stagger that so that potentially a couple of your best players aren't on the field at the same time?
Well, because they can't
play. I don't think that's going to fly.
I don't think it is either. That's my point.
I don't think that's going to fly, John Freaky. Yeah. I don't want to call it stupid.
It's stupid.
You're trying to keep the game safe. You're trying to keep it as safe as possible, and they're taking all these different measures to try to do that. But the games in the NFL are crucial. I think that's one of the main reasons why people love the game of football the way that they do, because every Sunday is a make or break situation for you. Now, you know, I know in the beginning of the season, people say, well, you know, it's the beginning of the season, yada, yada, yada. But if you go on a two or three game losing streak in the NFL, that could be your season.
Right.
As opposed to, say, for instance, the Hawks go on a 10-game winning streak. That for them, that's doesn't mean a whole lot. That's a great streak, or in baseball, but that doesn't factor in to go to the playoffs or anything. That doesn't like make or break your season.
Right.
And NFL is totally different. So you're telling me that there's somebody out there that's saying, hey, you know what? Matt Ryan doesn't play for two games, and we can still – I don't think that.
All right,
no.
So that's Jerry Jones number one. Here's Jerry Jones number two clowning himself. Now, I want you to set aside no matter what you think of Jerry Jones on a personal level, okay? I know that that's hard because everybody's got opinions about Jerry Jones on a personal level. We're going to talk about Jerry Jones in another way as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, just strictly as an owner of a team. Yeah, you know, again, pounding the table for an 18-game regular season, which actually I agree with, by the way. I wish they would go to 18 and two preseason games. I'd like that. But he has now said, he goes on the radio and he says, Hugh, he says, you have no idea. He says, this is his quote. It would be to the radio show. Okay. It would be embarrassing. It would be shocking if you knew the size of the check that I would write if I could guarantee me one more Super Bowl. Now they won three in the Jerry Jones era, but it's been 22 years. It's been so long that that recent college graduates were not alive the last time the Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl. And, yes. and if you want to watch the Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl, you got to watch it on VHS.
VHS.
Okay.
VCR.
So it's embarrassing.
Still with John Fricke. Came up with that. That's pretty good.
It would be shocking if you knew the size of the check I would write if you guaranteed me a Super Bowl. And as a billionaire, maybe you write a billion-dollar check. I don't know. But why this is embarrassing is, Jerry, you didn't have to write a check. Now, obviously, you can't just write a check and get a Super Bowl. It's not the way the NFL works. And if that were the case and you really wanted one, why didn't you get the hell out of the way when you won Super Bowls? What happened? What happened? Jimmy Johnson ran the show. You did not. When you won the other one, Bill Parcells ran the show. You did not. Get the hell out of the way.
I think, since you put it in that perspective, I think that's his way of saying, I'm sorry. I probably wish I would have done things a little bit different. And Jimmy Johnson was the one that was very, very instrumental in helping turn the Dallas Cowboys around with that huge team trade, when he traded with Herschel Walker for like 80 people.
Yeah, the trade was Herschel Walker to the Vikings for 8 guys, and that ended up being Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith.
Eric Williams, yep. One of my old teammates.
Yeah, it was great like, guard.
Oh, man.
Great.
They got everybody. They got everybody. And that was when they went on their terror. And then all of a sudden, you had, what's his name, Barry Switzer came in because, you know, you still had the core team there. You got rid of Jimmy Johnson. Barry Switzer comes in, you get another ring. And then it just all goes downhill. And then that's when Parcells infamously said, you know, they want you to cook the dinner, but they don't want you to buy the groceries.
Right.
Talking about Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones liked the fact that, to me, and
he was the player personnel guy.
Oh, yeah. He liked the fact that he was out front and, you know, they were making these big major moves. That's when Jerry Jones was a maverick in a sense that when he made a deal with Pepsi. When you remember when they did the commercial with Pepsi, that was one of the first, big deals that they made with like a soft drink company or like one of these companies that, you know, buying the name rights for the field or whatever. Right. It was with Pepsi, and I remember that. And people were talking about, well, Jerry Jones is doing this and that. The Dallas Cowboys were at one point a powerhouse, and they looked like they were doing all the things
right. They were
the
New England Patriots.
Yes, they were. And they could have historically went on a New England Patriots run
if not for Jerry Jones.
If he would have just got out the way.
Right.
If he'd have just got out the way.
And then Chan Gailey happened and
all these other coaches.
All the other stuff that happened, you know, I mean, Jerry Jones is the architect of the
own demise.
Right, of the Jerry Dome and of mediocre Dallas Cowboy football. Which, by the way, happens to be fine by me.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I don't have a problem with that.
Thank you, Jerry.
You know what? As sick as I am that the Patriots are a dynasty, I would be really, really, really sick if the Dallas Cowboys had that kind of dynasty. I would be, oh my goodness, I would be sick as a dog. I don't think I'd be the only one. I think a lot of people would be.
Talk about all the stuff that's going on in town. We're getting ready for Atlanta United to possibly clinch a playoff spot this weekend. What Joseph Martinez did yesterday, what's he done now to make a name for himself? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Official start of the football season, and our Falcons are ready.
No question. The sky's the limit for us.
Our Falcons are back on the field, fine-tuning their gameplay. Catch our exclusive preseason coverage here.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is the morning show from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, going to be another beautiful day in America's greatest big city, Atlanta, GA. Hope you're having a safe drive in. Heard that the grinding has been tough this week, and I get that. And if you're a grinder, that's okay. Relax, you'll be fine. Yeah, what was the old line? 75 is the route you were on. It's not the speed limit sign. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, the speed limit ain't 75?
Well,
wait, since when? Why is everybody looking at me like this? Like, it's like, what, 70, but they give you like 5 miles, don't they?
The sign says 65.
No, 70.
Where?
I say 70 north.
They live up there.
You know what? So what you ought to do, where do you live? What land do you live in? I live in 70-mile-an-hour land.
No, because you get like
35 around here, buddy.
Like, you know, I sometimes,
I mean, not me. You. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, not
about.
Me. Not me. I'd go to speed limit too.
No,
but some people I know flirt.
You just said it was 75, Hugh.
That's the funniest thing you said all day.
No, some people I know flirt with 80 on the highway.
Oh, some people I know flirt with 80 too.
90.
Have police get us walked down. Some people I know.
I don't know that person you're talking about.
I didn't say
you. Some people flirt with 80, and it's like, what you can't, because I've seen people on the highway. As a matter of fact, when I leave work sometimes, I see people flirt with like 65, 70, 80 miles an hour.
Man, I get up there to the 70 land, and I'm doing 75 or 77.
And people still pass me.
Like I'm flat-footed, dude. I mean, 80, I'm thinking 90. You know, because I'm like, hey, phew, there goes that guy. I'm like, okay.
Hey, ATL, shorty. When they open up the new highway up your way, John?
I don't know. Hey, what are GDOT, what the hell are you going to open up the new highway?
It's about that time, man.
Man, I think it's about that time. They said, I liked it was so vague. Late summer. Well,
I'll tell you what, that whole area by the SunTrust Park and everything, that like around 3 o'clock, that gets a little cluster over there.
Summer's not over, John, until September 22nd.
Oh, boy, you're going to hang on to the last dripping, aren't you? You're just going to really.
Yes, John. Do you not remember that winter went into like May this year?
Yeah, I know. I hope it goes into May next year.
Wendy's going to be the woman that on the last day of summer, she's going to the pool.
Oh, like, no, I'll be at the pool until I can't be at the pool anymore.
She going to the pool the last day they say summer's officially over after this one. She's going to be at the pool.
Until September 22nd.
And then she's going to be
later.
Absent because she's going to have pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Exactly.
Let's talk. Hey, Joseph Martinez won player of the week again before the fact that he scored that record-setting 28th goal against Orlando City. So it's the fourth time this year he's been player of the week. And Wendy threw it out on our social media at 929 The Game and on our Facebook about there's no question that Joseph is the MVP, right? I mean, she asked that question. You can jump into our Twitter or Facebook and answer that. And of course, Hugh, there is no question. There would be no bigger travesty than Joseph Martinez not being named MLS MVP for what he has done this year. But I'm starting to look around here and thinking, you know, we've already had one winner of a major award. That was Nicky Collin, the head coach of the Dream, was the WNBA Coach of the Year. By the way, the Dream won last night to even its series. But as we talk about the Dream playing for a WNBA title, Atlanta United, you know, making a run at the MLS Cup, the Atlanta Braves possibly making a run at the World Series, which is our Vision Computer poll question of the day. Will they make the World Series? There's other stuff here. I mean, I started looking around here, and I think, okay, Joseph, we agree that Joseph is going to be MVP of Major League Soccer, right?
He should be. Yeah. There's no question about that. He should be the MVP.
Well, he should be the unanimous MVP.
Yes, he should be.
Right.
But you know, come on, John. He's not going to probably be unanimous.
Do you think Ronald Acuna is going to win Rookie of the Year?
That's a tough one. I would definitely. There's been a lot of contributions by rookies in Major League Baseball this year.
Quite
a few. Yeah.
I think it's him.
Wait a minute,
who's
the young man from the Yankees? It's a young guy from the Yankees.
No, let me stress. National League Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
They split them by leagues.
Okay, yeah, you know what, you're right. There's been a lot of contributions in Major League Baseball by young players this year. I would say he's in the top three.
Yeah, I think it's between him and Soto. I think he's probably in the top two. And if he's in the top two, then I think he wins. I'd vote for him over Soto.
I would say this, John. It all depends on how it shakes out for the Braves at the end of the season.
You're right. I
would say that it all depends on how well they perform.
Well, and to that point, you know, NL MVP, we don't know yet, right? I mean, we have a lot of candidates on the Atlanta Braves, including Nick Markakis, who's had an MVP type year, Freddie, who's had an MVP type year, and I know you're sitting in your car, which is a good thing. What if I told you if he got hot down the stretch that Ronald Acuna could win MVP too?
Just cause people to have wrecks.
No, I'm just telling you. If in the last 30 games, if he goes like he did in that one stretch, remember he leads. You know, he could end up hitting. He'll lead the Braves in home runs this year.
Ronald Acuna. Stop it!
But by the time it's all said and done, who's going to be the most valuable player on the team?
For the Braves.
Will it be Freddie or will it be Ronald Acuna?
Who's been the most consistent?
Well, who's going to be the World Series MVP at this point? It's going to be Ronald Acuna.
162 games.
Yeah, I know, but he hadn't even played that much. I mean, he hadn't played half a
season.
Who's
been the most consistent on the Braves? Now, that's a good question. Like,
Markakis, maybe.
Markakis, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ozzie got off to the incredible start, but he's cool.
Yeah, and then he kind of cooled off. I would say Freddie Freeman, last night he went 0 for 5, so not him, so... Yeah, Markakis. I would say right off the top, Markakis.
Yeah. You know, and of course, you'll have other awards. Brian Snicker will be up for Manager of the Year.
And Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler will be. Whether or not
it depends on how bad they fade.
Four and a half out. That's not one of those.
But Cotter,
it's not like 8.5 or 9 out. It's not like that.
Cotter's pulling all the wrong plugs right now. His bullpen is just, every time he pulls a plug, he puts in a pinch runner last night, it turns into a disaster.
Yeah, that was pretty bad for them last night.
You know, so.
But he will still, Gabe Kapler has been in the conversation for the last
Gabe Kapler is welcome back Cotter.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, I caught that, John. I caught that. No,
he's Mr. Cotter.
But somebody just tweeted, he used analytics to put his team in first place, and they said, it's gone.
Oh.
I'm telling you, this is going to come down to the wire. This is the ebb and flow. This is the ebb and flow for the Phillies right now.
We're riding the wave up.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're ready to put them away. I don't think they're going to go that quietly into the night.
I really don't think they're going to go that quietly into the night. But boy, wouldn't it be sweet if we did. What if all of a sudden?
No, it would definitely be sweet. Not tonight.
A week from now, you're 7.5 up and you're going 23 games to go. This might be over.
Yeah, but I like the Braves better when it feels like they're under a little bit of pressure. Because even right now, with 4.5 games up, John, you can't rest. You can't rest on your laurels. Especially after the pitching night that Julio Teheran gave you.
I know. Up and down. He was down last night, right?
Especially the pitching that he gave you last night. So you can't rest. And defensively, if we could vote for something that's intangible, I would say defense. For the most consistent thing.
The Braves defense has been exceptional this year. Exceptional.
The Braves, yes.
Yes, it's been outstanding. Their infield defense, best in baseball. They have the best defensive infield in baseball. Camargo's really good. Freddie's a gold glover.
Wait a minute, what? What'd you say?
I've always said Camargo was good defensively. Camargo was good defensively.
Back up, John. No need to get defensive. I'm just saying, it's just funny to hear you give him props. That's all I'm saying. Because me and Daryl sat here, about the beginning of the season, and you were kind of.
I need to see more. I need to see more of Camargo. I haven't seen enough. He hasn't done enough.
I don't remember any of this. I'm off my meds.
You have amnesia when it comes to certain things.
Matter of fact, you'd have to show me a text that maybe I got rid of.
I'm just saying, it's exciting to hear you give his props. I mean, but you know what? You're a stand up guy, you gave him his props. But there was a time where, you know, when they were talking about potentially moving on from some folks, that he was one of them.
Well, I see what happened to you is he heard me talk about this.
That's probably
what
it was. He
listens to the show. And he said, well, John says I better step up, so damn that Fricky, I'll step up.
Damn you, Fricky. How about your boy Jose Bautista?
But, you know, I can't remember this because, you know, my meds and all that. Oh, yeah. No, wait, that's Urban Meyer.
Who's that Urban Meyer?
Stop, John.
How about Jose Bautista potentially going to Philly? So did he go to the Phillies yet? He's still getting a job.
Jose Bautista.
Yeah. Still getting a job.
Speaking of Urban Meyer, have you heard the latest about Ohio State? Oh, yeah, there's new news. Back up the bus because Ohio State wants to try and run over some people on the way. This is not – told you this is going to get – we're not hurt. We're not done yet. And we aren't. Wait to hear this next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.